Good singing. Good morning. I love that song. I love the history behind it. I hope everyone knows the history, right? I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. But if you don't, figure it out. Thank you so much for my goodness, that might be a record. Choking up in the first 5 seconds. That was crazy. I'm going to blame it on the song. No, but I was going to say thank you so much for inviting me and my family. It's not something I take lightly. I'm honored to be here. Man, that's a horrible beginning. Get this guy out of here. All right. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. Do verse 11 and 12. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The background there, as some of you may know, 1 Timothy, Paul's in jail. In a dungeon, really, when we think about jail. He's writing this to Timothy. There's a lot of great stuff in this book, but I just think it's great to see kind of the mentee talk to the one being mentored. Okay, I'll say right off the bat where it sits there and says, but you, O man of God, don't glaze over that. For Paul, who's a pretty heavy hitter, right? Like, Paul's got a pretty good rep. He's been beat up for the Lord. He's an apostle of all apostles. He knows his Bible, right? He's one of the ones that can say, hey, I bear on my body the mark. So he's just one of those guys that was a heavy hitter, right? And for to be a young guy, Timothy, to have him write a letter to you, and as you're reading it, you see, but you, O man of God, I'm sure that hit. I'm sure that really kind of hit Timothy. And so I just want to encourage this again. This has nothing to do with the message. But again, with young people, right? With young people, it is important to not only build them up and affirm them, but to say things like this to them. Because that will also give you openings to beat them up a little bit too. Everyone needs a little beaten up once in a while, especially young people. But if we beat them up without also encouraging them, it can get into a really bad recipe. So I just want to, that's a sidebar, really has nothing to do with the message, but I think it's pretty interesting that Paul would say, oh, man of God. So we're going to look at these two verses. Let's look to the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you are the one who stepped out of glory and became a man, that there's nothing that you have asked of us to do that you haven't done yourself. You understand what it is to be a man here on this earth. Thank you so much for your future plan, that you have worked everything out, that one day our sanctification will be complete, that we will be completely justified, that we will be in heaven with you, and it will just be a glorious time for those who have put their faith and trust in you. Thank you so much, Lord, that we will be able to actually see God and not be consumed. We will be able to behold your glory in ways that we have never been able to before. We look forward to that time. Be honored and glorified above all during this time, Lord. May your Spirit do a work that would take these words from your scripture and just do something with them in our hearts, that we might love you more, that we might in turn obey you more, and that we would just desire to have a deeper relationship with you. In your name, amen. Verse 11, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. He's given Timothy a list of things that he should flee from. They're from the first couple verses right before this. I'll go through it quickly. In verse 4 of this chapter, you got conceit. Then in verse 5, you got corrupt minds, thinking that godliness is for worldly gain. Verses 6 through 8, you have flee from not being content. Not being content. Verse 9, flee from different lusts. Verse 10, flee from the love of money. You could have a bunch of sermons on those right there. All right, we're not going to spend time there today, but I just want to remind us again. You know, I am 46 years old. This was supposed to be the intro that I cried on. I have three daughters there in the row, and my wife, that beautiful little redhead. Almost cried for her. Okay, so the point is, we are 46, and I got two kids in college, one a senior in high school, so we're going through like that whole different stage of life. I'm starting to learn what it is to not have energy in your faith to flee and follow other things. Okay, so again, I don't know if that would speak to you, but I understand now, the older I get, I've been saved since I was 5 years old, so I'm working, I think, 41 years, okay? And it is, at times, tough to continue to flee and continue to follow after the things of the Lord. And we don't get a pass, by the way. We don't get a pass saying, well, you're older now, you've been committed for a couple years, maybe 10, maybe 20, so you're pretty good. It's just not the way it works. And so that's why we need to be reminded of some of these things to flee and to follow. Because I just want to encourage us again. You know, all these things could creep up into our lives. Conceit or for some reason thinking that godliness is for worldly gain. Not being content is really, really a big deal. We should be those who are content with our Savior. Lusts are always there. It's not just for young people. And the love of money. We sound better when we're older when describing these things so they don't seem that bad, right? So we're about to get rid of some of these things. And then he says, but you pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. That word pursue really means to seek after eagerly. Not just let it happen, but to go after it. Again, taking action. So I want to combine some of these because, again, this could be a lot of messages here in just these and some of these things. But let's put together righteousness and godliness. Has the idea of being just and having integrity with men. Being godlike, like his love, loving like he does, gracious. Seek after these things, being righteous and godly. In Proverbs 21:3, it says, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Proverbs 10:9, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. How good are we at pursuing integrity? Integrity. Being someone that is not necessarily hiding from things, being willing to show people really what's going on in your life. And I'm not meaning sinless at all. I'm just talking about one that would admit, of course, yeah, I've struggled with this or I've done this, okay? Or integrity in dealing with people, especially in the Lord's assembly. One of the things I would like to encourage us with, again, is that if you commit to doing something here, you actually do it. That's what we mean by integrity. When someone says, hey, I will turn off all the lights at the end of, you know, the service, they'll make sure it's my job to, you know, kind of shut the place down. You actually do it so that other people don't have to worry about it. Simple things like that. Booker T. Washington described a meeting he had with an ex-slave from Virginia in his book, Up From Slavery. It says this, I found that this man had made a contract with his master 2 or 3 years previous to the Emancipation Proclamation to the effect that the slave was to be permitted to buy himself by paying so much per year for his body. And while he was paying for himself, he was to be permitted to labor where and for whom he pleased. Finding that he could secure better wages in Ohio, he went there. When freedom came, he was still in debt to his master some $300. The proclamation had freed him from any obligation to his master. This black man walked the greatest portion of the distance back to where his old master lived in Virginia and placed the last dollar with interest in his hands. In talking to me about this, the man would say that he knew that he did not have to pay his debt, but that he had given his word to his master, and his word he had never broken. He felt that he could not enjoy his freedom till he had fulfilled his promise. Interesting. I don't know if I would have been that guy. As soon as that proclamation came out, I probably would have said, you probably owe me money. Integrity, righteous and godliness. We seem to be living in a world that if we would just have a little more integrity, our lights would be shining that much brighter. That much brighter. What about faith and love? Faith means you can be depended on in this context, or faithful. Love for God and his people. Love for God and his people. Some of the verses in the Bible that I read and go, ugh, are some of those verses that say, listen, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, the ungodly, I mean, they know how to love their own anyway, right? So like, that's not the hard thing to do. The hard thing is to love your enemies, right? Like, even the world knows how to love each other in some ways. So when we sit there and go, oh, we love those people in church, okay, that's not really where the bar is set. The bar is going beyond and loving the people that have actually offended you. Loving the people that you have absolutely nothing in common with. And in fact, the people that probably bother you by their lifestyle. We are called to love them. Love them. And I think, again, you know, it's easy to kind of glance over that in the Gospels. I think the Lord really was great at this, is loving the unlovable. And some of these people that could not be touched because of their disease and stuff like that, he touched them. There's a whole lot of deep theology there. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think he would have a testimony where he was not loving. Was not loving. We should be a people known for our love. Known for it. That if you come here to this chapel, hey, you're going to be loved. You're going to be loved. And I do mean always. I was teasing a little bit, talking about beating young people up. Loving is not just accepting everyone. We understand that, right? We understand that. Love is tough. Love is really doing real life together. So if I see something in your life that might be harming you, it's because I love you that I have to talk to you about it. I have to deal with confrontation because I love you. If I don't love you, I don't care. I just go do whatever you want to do. And in fact, that's what happens a lot of times in church, right? Someone is bothering you. You might even see them doing something that might be ungodly. And you're like, hey, forget about that. If they want to go do that? Fine. I'm going to do my life over here. If we really love them, a conversation has to happen. And it's tough. But that's what we're called to do, to be those who will be faithful and loving. A verse that is just so near and dear to me, again, is that if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself, right? Is that the Lord Jesus constantly is faithful to you. He's constantly committed to you. And we know this, right? But it's good to hear on a Sunday morning. No matter what you do, he's faithful to you. At any point you cry out to him, he is going to be committed to making and helping you succeed at this Christian walk. And the whole time his love for you didn't change. The whole time. His love does not go up and down based on your actions. Remember the verse? There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And he doesn't show personal favoritism. As much as you might think it, he doesn't love you more than others. Now, I say that because I would love to think that. He's got to love me a little more than the other guy. If I did X, Y, and Z. Because that's our human nature. Lord, if I've been serving and if I've been committed, you've got to love me a little more than that wayward carnal Christian, right? Just a little bit? It's not true. It's not true. We are called to be a people that love. The next one, patience and gentleness or meekness. Patience and gentleness, a mildness of disposition, gentleness of spirit. Some of this gets into personalities. I'm going to tell you what I mean. I'm not really by nature a gentle guy. So I'm kind of the guy that doesn't mind being loud. I'm kind of the guy that, you know, likes to have a good time. And a quiet setting is not always the setting I want to be in. But the reason I say that is hopefully that really doesn't have to do with gentleness. Being gentle is are you approachable? Are you approachable? Do people feel comfortable that when they go up to you, they know that there's a comfort and a gentleness that they can say something to you and feel comfortable doing it? Because we all need each other. I still remember, and again, I don't think I'm necessarily doing a decent job at it, but there was an elder at my assembly. His name was Paul Johnson. He's literally one of the only geniuses I've ever met. And when I say genius, I'm telling you he's a genius. His brain is on another level. To the point where, he would hate when I tell these stories, but to the point where I was teasing him. I said, dude, go on Jeopardy. Go on Jeopardy. What are you doing? And he literally got all quiet and would say, yeah, no, I can't. I'm like, Paul, what are you talking about? Dude, you could win. And I'm telling you, if you knew Paul, he goes, no, I know. I would win. That's why I don't. I'm like, what? Like, he literally thought, like, hey, this is kind of unfair. Like, I would just win. Like, that's how smart this guy is. Now, the reason I'm telling that story is this. You could go up to him, and I'm telling, like, I did ministry with him and work with him in the assembly, all that stuff. And if you went up to him and said, Paul, can you tell me what sin is? I really don't know what it is. It would not bother him at all that you would ask that question. Oh, okay. Well, sin would be, you know, anything we really do that's against the Lord. And he would just have a conversation with you. I saw him over and over talking to people where they could just ask the most basic questions and they should have known a lot better. And he would just, no, yeah, let's talk about that. Not a big deal at all. And I wanted to be like that. I still want to be like that. I want to be gentle. And the idea that you can come talk to me and ask me, you know, well, how do you actually... Listen, one of the verses again. Older women teach younger women how to love their husbands. If there was anything you would think shouldn't have to be taught, it would be that one. Like, the younger women probably don't need to be taught how to love their husbands, right? Oh, you get an older woman. Oh, you got to be taught. You got to be taught. You got to be taught how to love him. Okay. Like, some of these things, right? Like, you need to be able to have a disposition about you. That if you're an older lady, a younger lady can come up and out of the blue go, this wasn't what I was expecting in marriage. Can you teach me a little bit how to deal with this? And if we do those kinds of things, we realize how many of us are in the same boat. We are all just a bunch of needy people who needed a savior. That's who we are. Patience. Well, there's a lot of things we could talk about with patience. I don't know why, but practically, I'm speaking. I just want to remind us, are we patient in money? Are we patient in money? We are living in times where it's hard to kind of just wait and save, right? Wait and save, especially with 0% credit cards and all this kind of stuff. I just want to remind us that sometimes it's good to just go through the process of being patient. Just go through the process. It kind of takes a practice on learning how to be patient, right? So it's good for us to kind of sit there and go, hey, you know what? Maybe I just got enough money to go on the vacation, but if I wait a little longer, I can save up a little more, and then I'll go on the vacation. Just simple things like that. Learn how to be patient with some of the things, like even money. So we are to pursue these things. Pursue these things and flee from the other things. In verse 12 it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Contend for it. Contend for it. Okay? When we talk about fighting the good fight, it's really not talking, again, about like a war or a battle, or like you're the army, the navy, and you're trying to defeat the enemy. This is really talking about the arena. The Olympics are on right now. Love watching the Olympics. We're getting a few gold. There's a lot of cool stories there. Okay? This is what it's talking about. Fighting the good fight. Contending for it. But I want to remind us who we are contending or fighting against. Okay? It's not each other. There was a farm boy who got a white football for Christmas. He played with it for a while, and then he kicked it over the neighbor's yard. The old rooster ran out and looked at it and called the hens to see it. Now look here, the rooster said. I don't want you girls to think I'm complaining, but I just want you to see what they're doing next door. I want to remind us sometimes, because I think it's not said enough, we talk about fighting the good fight of faith, that somehow we think that's battling each other for a position in the kingdom. Right? I just think that's an easy thought to come into our minds. Like, hey, let me be, we wouldn't say better than the person next to us, but that's really what we mean deep down. I just want to look better than everyone else in the assembly. I'm not better than them, I just want to look, whatever that means. We're not called to fight against each other. Remember Ephesians 6:12? It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We are not here to compare against other Christians. However, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And it should bother us when it seems like we as a church are not making gains against the world. That should bother us. I am a Washington Commanders fan. Brutal. 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 Laughingstock. If I wear the jersey or the t-shirt, I get stopped in public all the time. And I'm not saying this for a story, but at least half the time I get strangers to go, I'm sorry. Just wearing a t-shirt. I'm sorry, you. Brutal. Okay? It's hard being a fan sometimes of such a dysfunctional organization. But you know what? It's interesting. Man, do we care about what the church looks like to the outside? Now again, they're going to have it wrong. They're going to say we're judgmental, sure. They're going to say crazy things. They did that for the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what. There's a line there somewhere where we're not caring enough about God's testimony to the world. God's testimony to the world. We should fight for that. We should fight that everyone in the neighborhood knows, hey, there's not perfect people there, but you can go there and hear truth. Fight for that. You don't want to come hear the truth? Fine, but at least you know it. You can come to this place and be loved. You might not like us. You might not like our activities. Fine, but we're going to love you. You got to know that. And we should fight to have assemblies like that. Churches like that. That if the world wants to reject the Lord, that's between them and the Lord. But at least they can come to a place where the truth is presented and they're loved. And real truth can be finally told them, maybe for the first time in their lives. We should fight for that. We really should. How do you fight this good fight? How do you contend? You know, the Olympics actually have standards. They cannot just, you can't just kind of join the Olympics if you want. If so, I would have been in there. 50% of qualification places are based on achieving the entry standard for an event within the qualification period. In other words, if you want to do shot put for Olympics, you have to be able to throw it at least 20.5 meters. You have to be able to. If not, you're not going to do it. It doesn't matter if there's no one else in your country that's doing shot put. You can't go to the Olympics unless you reach a specific mark. Okay? There's a lot we could say about this. Have we developed the skills as believers? Putting on the armor of God, learning how to be ready with an answer, apologetics, learning how to discern between right or wrong. What is truth? I'll say this. When an athlete trains, they typically have a coach. And they typically listen to the coach for advice. Right? Why would it be different for us? In some ways, that's what we're doing, right? In Bible studies, we're trying to, first of all and foremost, learn who our Savior is. Just get to know Him. Getting to know Him will change your life. But then there's also a piece that we're going to practically learn. How do you love your husband? How do you love your wife? How do you raise kids? How do you do finances? What's a Christian do with money? I'm making money now. How do I do this? How do I, you know, there's so many practical things of living that should be taught biblically. And a lot of times we're foolish because some reason we have this idea like, hey, I'll just figure it out by myself. When we should have a place to go, the church, where there's people that have gone before us and say, hey, I've been making money for 40 years. Let me show you what to do with a budget. You've been married for 50 years. Let me tell you about what happened in our marriage so that you can build on that in your future marriage or your marriage right now. We need these things in our lives. The Proverbs say this, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 15:22. If you want to just do practical application today of how to fight the good fight, I would ask you, are you someone that can take advice from people? And not anyone, not the world, but from solid, mature believers that you might have contact with in your life, will you take their advice? Art Hall, a guy that I've been told trained Olympians for archery. He also certified me to be a National Archery Association instructor. That was about 25 years ago. I just did it for Camp Berea. I loved going to that little, we had like a little 2-day certification thing so I could teach archery over the summer. I had shot before. Most of the people with me had never shot a bow in their lives. So as they are struggling to even hit the big target at about 5 yards away, I'm just nailing bullseyes to where everyone's starting to look at me. And I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good. And good old Art Hall looked at me and started laughing. And he goes, "You're not shooting good." I was like, "What are you talking about?" And I kind of laughed at him. And he goes, "Yeah, you're not shooting good." And he goes, "Why don't you get in your stance?" And right away, I was in my stance, and he had to adjust at least 6 things on me. And he goes, "Your release, horrible. You know, your locking point, horrible." You know, and we're just kind of laughing because at that point, I'm sitting there going, "Yeah, but look, I got some in the yellow. And compared to everyone else, I'm the best." From Art's perspective, he'd been training Olympians. And he's just laughing at me going, "Buddy, you're not good. You're really not that good." Right? But sometimes, guys, like, it's so frustrating that that's exactly what we do in the church. You think you're doing okay or not based on what others around you are doing. Instead of comparing yourself to the Lord, instead of saying, Lord, how am I doing? How do I get better? You would just rather look at other people. And then when others try to give you advice, you go, yeah, I'm good. I mean, you imagine if I'm sitting there fooling around and the guy that trains Olympians is telling me how to set and how to keep my elbow up. And I'm like, buddy, I don't really need your advice. From 5 yards away, I'm making a yellow every other arrow. That's foolishness. That's ridiculous. That's exactly what we do sometimes. Someone gives us advice, we're like, I'm not even going to listen to that. Be a people that take advice. And if you're younger here in the assembly today, listen to me. Old people, sure, they can be funny. Maybe not at your stage of life, but I'm telling you, they got good advice. They got good advice for you. Don't make the same mistakes they made. Do the things they did well and do them better. They're not going to be upset if you're better at them, but seek out wisdom. There's also a whole piece of getting into the Olympics where they get in based on the World Athletics ranking. In other words, they need to compete. They need to compete before the Olympics and actually place. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Remember this probably familiar story. The spies come back. And starting in verse 24, and they departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us, saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Then I said to them, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go, in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. Whew. Such a small portion of such a big history and such a big lesson in human nature. Human nature. We are told to fight the good fight of faith. And some of us are too afraid to actually get in the game. We're too afraid to get into the game because it looks like we can't win. I want to remind us of this story that they were afraid to fight. They did not trust that the Lord could carry them, even though they've lived with a miracle every day with manna. I want you to go through your quick history lesson again. Shoes aren't worn out. Fire by night, cloud by day. Some of these guys saw the whole Egyptian army drowned. I mean, you would think that seeing miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, that when they see some big giants, they go, okay, well, time for another miracle. Not how it is. And we are those who have seen God's faithfulness and God providing over and over and over in our lives. And when the next thing comes up, the next test, where it looks like it won't happen correctly, it's extremely hard to trust him. Even though he's been proven over and over and over again in our lives. Yet, we're just human nature. We're sitting there with something that does not make sense and we can't do this. They're too big. We're afraid to go. In fact, the Lord hates us. This is why he brought us out of Egypt. He's setting me up. Those are crazy words that they're uttering. that the Lord hates them and is setting them up. And yet somewhere deep in our hearts, sometimes we have these exact same feelings. He's setting me up. He wants me to fail. He's punishing me for my sins. And so we stay out of the game. We say, I'm not going to use my spiritual gift. I'm not going to go pursue things of the Lord. I'm not going to try again to try to stir people up in love and edify. I'm not doing it. I'm out of the game. You have got to get in the game. You remember some of the greatest movies ever, the Rocky series. In Rocky IV, where Rocky's talking to his wife, and he's trying to describe why he's actually going to go fight the Russian. And Adrian says, it's suicide. You've seen him. You know how strong he is. You can't win. And Rocky says, Adrian always tells the truth. No, maybe I can't win. Maybe the only thing I can do is just take everything he's got. But to beat me, he's going to have to kill me. And to kill me, he's going to have the heart to stand in front of me. And to do that, he's got to be willing to die himself. And I don't know if he's ready to do that. Whew, I love Rocky. I don't want to sit here preaching like it's simple to get in the game. Or that as long as you try, the Lord will bless you and everything you touch will be fruitful and multiply. Sometimes our attitude is simply, am I pleasing the Lord? Is this what he wants to do with me? And I'm willing to go to the death to do this as long as he's pleased without worrying about the results. That's tough to do. Tough to do. We are called to lay hold of eternal life. If you need motivation to flee from those things and to pursue the other things, if you need motivation to fight the good fight of faith, it's laying hold of eternal life and having an eternal perspective. Remember, you're not trying to win your salvation. You're already secure eternally, right? Before you try to really do something for the Lord, it is always good to be reminded of all the promises he's already given you, who you are in Christ, who you are regardless of what you think. That's what the truth is. Son of God, blessed with every spiritual blessing, being given all things that pertain to life and godliness. These are some of the promises. Committed to you forever, can never be separated by his love. Loved you with an everlasting love. These are all yours if you have your faith and trust in Jesus. All of it's yours. You've already won. We're just doing this for our master. Remember, it's a good fight too. Remember, when they're trying to decide whether they want to go into the promised land or not, it's not a barren land. They got houses they can move into. They got big old grapes. They got good food, good water. They are going into a luscious land. And there are so many blessings. So many blessings. For those who pursue the Lord down here on earth. Things that maybe the world won't see. Maybe those around you won't see. But true blessings of love and acceptance and peace. And then just regular blessings. Good friendships. Children that walk with the Lord. A lot of those things. Remember, you've been called to this. You've been called. You've been commanded. If you have told anyone who is a non-believer that you are a follower of Christ, you're in the game. You're in. You got to fight. You've got to fight. The fact that you are still contending, regardless of your past, means there's a chance for success. Remember, there is no one fighting for you to be successful at this Christian walk more than the Lord Jesus himself. At the end of the day, people will fail you. Maybe the church won't get it right. But one day we stand before our Savior, who literally has done everything possible for us to succeed, has said, I will pray for you daily on your behalf. When the enemy accuses you, I will be your advocate. My love for you has never changed. I am looking forward to you being with me in heaven probably more than you are. That's who we serve. Fight the good fight. Lay hold of eternal life. Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are an amazing God. And Lord, we would just be those who want to make you look good. We want to be a people that aren't perfect, but that we at least can just show you off, that you would take such a broken and feeble people and do tremendous and mighty things through them. Thank you so much for being committed to us. In your name, amen. Thank you.